Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray that this message would be used by you to further our witness in our community and beyond. Speak your truth to our hearts and cause it to penetrate to the place of putting it into practice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to resume my messages from the book of Acts, which hopefully serve to help prepare you for the interim period, the upcoming interim period here at WPC. Jim Singleton's message last week from Acts chapter 2 really fit beautifully in with this. That was really a powerful and practical message for Pentecost Sunday, and if you weren't there, I'd really encourage you to pick up a copy of the CD to listen to that message. The Sunday before that was a one-week break from Acts, for Mother's Day. This series started a couple weeks before Mother's Day, and then we had Mother's Day, which Jim told us last week was the third high Sunday of the Christian year following Christmas and Easter, and then it's Mother's Day, and I guess Pentecost is number 4, and I guess then Father's Day is number 5 or thereabouts. Dang. At any rate, 3 weeks ago, I left off with Acts chapter 4, where the apostles Peter and John were arrested by preaching in the streets in Jerusalem about Jesus risen from the dead. The context there is also that a crippled beggar had been healed right before their eyes in the name of Jesus. And so the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, they arrest Peter and John for causing all this commotion, preaching in the streets about the resurrection, healing a man, who was a cripple, and they want to stop this. They want to stop this public witness, this ministry of healing. Now, in my message 3 weeks ago, I need to back up a little bit because we forget messages 3 weeks ago. But in my message 3 weeks ago, I examined the effects of the Spirit of God blowing through this whole scene in chapter 4. And one effect was of the Holy Spirit moving through the crowd was that many believed in John and Peter's message for the very first time. There was incredible conversion growth. The numbers, I think it says in the text that 5,000 were added to the church that one day. And that's one effect of the Spirit of God moving through a crowd. And when the message is preached, people believe and turn to the Lord. Another effect of the Spirit of God moving in that place was that Peter and John were pointing to Christ as the sole reason these powerful things were happening. They were taking no credit themselves for anything that was going on. They said, you ask why this man has been healed? It's in the name of Jesus that he's been healed. So that's another effect of the Spirit. You know, people point to Christ as being the sole reason for these amazing things happening. And then the third thing was that there was a real radical Christ-centeredness to Peter and John and their colleagues in ministry. They made the statement, which was not a popular statement then, and it's not a popular statement now, that there is no other way to be saved except through Christ. You know, say that today, and you get the same reaction. There's a lot of people that don't want to hear that, but an effect of the Spirit of God moving through, blowing through the crowd, was this radical Christ-centeredness, and the same is true today. So when the Sanhedrin told them to stop speaking in Jesus' name, Peter and John said point blank, "We can't do that. We have to say what we have to talk about what we've seen and heard." So the Sanhedrin, this council, threatens Peter and John further, and then releases them, and that's where we pick up the text for today. So there you have the setting as we pick up with chapter 4. Hear the word of God from Acts chapter 4, 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" This is actually a quotation from Psalm 2, from the second Psalm. "The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city, Jerusalem, to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." So the prayer then continues. "Now, Lord, consider their threats," the threats of the Sanhedrin, "and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The grass withers, the flower fades, and people come and go. The word of God stands forever. Well, from this text, there are some principles here that emerge for Wyndham Presbyterian Church for spiritual renewal and the growth of this body going forward. First, the importance of reporting back to the body anything exciting that is happening in the mission field outside the church. The importance of reporting back to the body anything exciting that's going on in the mission field outside the church. We all know that we have a couple signs on either end of the parking lot that says you are now entering the mission field. Those signs have been up, I don't know, 15 years, and if you're like me, you don't see it anymore. But it's still there, and it's still true. The mission field is outside the church. And we're to go out and do ministry in his name in between Sundays in our mission field. And then, you know, this text talks about the importance then of coming back to the church, to the body, and reporting what's going on, what's happening that's exciting out in the mission field. So this is why we always have special nights, special events when mission teams come back from either local missions or missions overseas, and report back to the church the exciting things God did while they were out serving. This is why we ask for testimonies from you in worship, for you to share what God is doing in your daily life. This is why we report to the body exciting answers to prayer. Reporting back to the body what God is doing as we return from the mission field that we've been out in during the week. And I think the body here may not be it could be your small group. It doesn't have to be the Sunday morning gathering. But the group that you're a part of during the week, report back and let them know what's going on. This builds the faith of the congregation and builds a real sense of praise within the body. Praise to God for what he's doing. And that builds the faith of the congregation. So that's one principle going forward. to go out and serve and come back and report to the church, either the large congregation or the small group that you're in. The second principle from the text is reports to the body are followed by concerted prayer together as a church, as a body. Here in the early church, they immediately, upon hearing from Peter and John, they go to prayer together. And they affirm, in this prayer that we just read, they affirm God as creator and the one who speaks through his word, and they affirm God's sovereignty over and against the plots of man to foil the spread of the gospel. They voice in prayer, God, it's happening. This opposition, these threats, these plots of the authorities, it's happening exactly as you said. That's a part of their prayer. They pray, and then they pray in this prayer, they pray not for protection from these threats and this opposition, but they pray for further empowerment to continue to speak with boldness. They pray that God would back them up by doing amazing things, doing miracles that nobody can deny. And then God answers their prayer by a fresh filling of the Spirit. And then they continue to have a very effective witness. Friends, anytime we try to spread the gospel in our community, and we can just know that there's going to be opposition. To be a witness for Jesus now can be every bit as scary as it was in the first century. We're not going to get thrown in jail these days. But there's still a real intimidation factor in our society today, and it's this intimidation factor, this fear factor, that keeps churches small and keeps churches ingrown. Now, we know in our culture, effective witness for Jesus requires a real sensitivity and more of a low-key and subtle approach, and it requires patience and skill in spotting an opening to speak of the gospel naturally. Yet it's still scary. So we need to pray together to God for him to help us with our fears and to give us the right words at the right time and to act on our behalf as he looks upon the cultural and spiritual forces that are arrayed against us as we seek to be faithful. Call upon him to act on our behalf. So this is the second principle coming from the text. Coming to God together in prayer as a body, particularly as reports come in, as we send out our little platoons that go out in mission and serve and come back. Report to the body, and then the body prays. Prays for further infilling of the Spirit. Prays for God to act and to do mighty things. Concerted prayer together as a body is a key to further effectiveness in our witness. And from this text, our Lord responds to our prayer together by further empowering us with his Spirit for bold and effective witness. And that leads to church growth. Remember the fundamental point from the book of Acts, and Jim Singleton stressed it last Sunday. The filling of the Spirit is always for witness. It's not primarily for our own personal good feeling. It's for witness. Although it sure feels good to be used effectively to spread the faith for Jesus, one person at a time. Well, I wanted to, so that those are the points from the text. And I just wanted to ask, how do we grow to care enough about this? To care enough about it, to step a bit out of our comfort zones as New Englanders? You know, we recently did a survey to find out your interests in adult ed classes, and they were listed listed according to our five purposes. And the results of the survey showed that the classes in evangelism ranked dead last in your interest for adult education classes. I'm just saying. If you want to grow as a church going forward, evangelism needs to move up a bit, nonetheless. Just saying. And we need training in that. And it's scary. You know, who doesn't feel scared about it and intimidated? That's how the church grows. That's how people come to faith. And so we need training to do it naturally, how to do it gradually, how to do it with sensitivity and patience and skillfully, how to do it. That's really something to give thought to moving forward. You know, I came across a psalm that's a really good one for teaching about evangelism. It's Psalm 126. Let's put that up on the screen. Now, the context, before I read the psalm, the context is that Israel is captive in Babylon. They're in exile. Israel is in exile in Babylon, and the people are captives. And so the psalmist says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, Zion being Jerusalem, or actually the whole land of Israel, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. I love that. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And I think of, you know, the sowing in tears has to do when you apply it to evangelism. It has to do with this caring for the captives. And so we go out with a real heart that really feels with how people are captive. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, and we have such seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. I think we understand that there are many in our community who are in exile from God. They're in exile from their true home in Christ. So many who are captive to addictive behaviors. So many just in our own neighborhoods who are captive to unresolved wounds in their lives and unresolved guilt. And they're suffering a lot. Think about it. Such were some of you before you came home to Christ. The issue here is to become moved to care about the captives so that we go out weeping, feeling for the captives, carrying seed to sow. Can you envision helping to bring them back to their home in Christ? And being filled up with laughter, singing songs of joy, and seeing them come home, and being a part of that. It won't be just you, it'll be other people who are helping with that too, but each of you has a role to play. Without Christ, good people who are suffering a lot, who are captive to all kinds of things, good people, they are in exile from God. They are spiritually lost and separated from their eternal home. The whole New Testament teaches that. This is about caring for the captives. Then as we venture a bit outside of our comfort zones and caring about the captives, it's just back to the principles of Acts chapter 4. Reporting back to the body, like perhaps your small group, and then the body prays together, affirming God's sovereignty in all that's happening, and the body then prays together, corporate prayer, prays together for further power, further help in the face of opposition. And the body receives that power then from God's Spirit, that help from God. In answer to our prayers, we receive that help and that power for further boldness and effectiveness in our witness. And the church grows as a congregation that way. Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, do your heart opening work here. Do your heart opening work here. Bring us into a place of caring about the captives and heeding your clear call to be witnesses to them. One person at a time. Use us, Lord, to bring spiritually confused and exiled people home. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.